CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Cliff May. Cliff is the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And these last days, he's attended a presentation by a very prominent French philosopher, Bernard-Henri Lévy, who writes books routinely about his travels. He's a journalist, philosopher, celebrity, certainly in France. He's always well-dressed in the same uniform of presentation of his philosophical pursuits, which is to witness and to report on suffering around the world. And right now, Cliff takes us to several of the dangerous places that Bernard-Henri Lévy traveled to, and I'm glad that he had registration in his presentation in Washington, that when he takes these trips, he's putting his family at risk as well, because his loss or disappearance would be profound for his children. Cliff, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I have traveled to places I shouldn't have been, and I know when I get there, why did I do this? I'm not sure that I have an explanation if something bad goes wrong. What is Henri Lévy's explanation for why he goes to such dangerous places before we go there?
Well, I think he would say, and he does, he has a new book out on this and a new film out on this, that he, for one thing, he wants to bear witness to the atrocities, the suffering, the distresses in these lands, particularly those places that are not getting much major media attention, particularly those places that are not getting much assistance from what we like to call the international community. I always put that term in quotation marks, because what do we mean by that? We mean bureaucrats and diplomats maybe, and others at places like the UN who are not very helpful in these situations. When people plead for the international community, it's a little bit like saying, you know, I really hope Santa Claus shows up at my house this Christmas time. There really is not much of an international community to help. I think he goes further, and I give him credit for doing what he does. But this criticism, I'll add, he seems to believe that his presence and his witnessing and his intervention alters these situations. And I'm not convinced there's evidence that that's true. But I do give him credit for looking in on these places and going to these places. And he's 72 years old, and he did some of this during the pandemic, or some of the pre-pandemic that he's writing about. So there's certainly, he's an intrepid traveler and reporter now, as he always has been. So I give him credit on that.
And a literary man. He was born in North Africa. He's from the French colony of Algeria. So traveling to Africa is going home for him, although this time he goes to sub-Saharan Africa, to Nigeria. And The Economist does a report about this within these last days, but it's quite correct that there's very little reporting going on in the United States about what you'd have to say is Nigeria falling apart, Cliff, just crumbling.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, a couple of things there. I mean, I spent a lot of time in Nigeria back in the 1980s when I was a New York Times foreign correspondent. It was a difficult and troubled country even then. And you have tribal divisions. You also certainly have Muslim Christian divisions, but it wasn't nearly as bad. I would go to the Muslim North to report from Kano, Maiduguri, those places. In many ways, I found people very friendly and hospitable and in some ways more efficient. But there has been a radicalization of the Muslims, and in particular this Boko Haram, which has established a real presence in northern Nigeria and in other countries around the region. And then what he writes about in particular are the Islamicized, radicalized Fulanis who are preying on the Christian population. Now, the Fulanis, as you know, they're a pastoral people of the Sahel. They wander across Africa, south of the Sahara mostly there, a lot of different places. And I remember when I was a commissioner on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, there was a very lively debate, because the pastoralists, the semi-nomadic Fulanis were preying on the farmers, and was this the sort of thing like you saw in, you know, our musical Oklahoma? You know, can the ranchers and the farmers be friends? Bernard-Henri Lévy makes very clear that this is not that. This is jihadi Fulani terrorists preying on the Christians, burning churches, building radicalized mosques, killing people with machetes, raping women, leaving survivors to tell other Christians, you want to be careful when the Fulani get here. They are afraid of nothing and they will be savage. You may want to just run and be out of their way, or you may want to convert, or you may want to submit in other ways. But what the chapter he writes is that the Christians are under siege in Nigeria, and it's as bad as what's been happening to the Christians in the Middle East, where they're being killed and driven out of country after country, one after the other, just as the Jews were driven out of all of the Middle East just about. And of course they took refuge in Israel, which is now besieged from many countries around it.
Let's go to the Middle East, because outside of Africa, he travels to Afghanistan during the pandemic in 2020. And good for him, traveling during the pandemic was extremely dangerous because of the airplanes, but he was there to observe the beginning of the last year in Afghanistan. There's nothing fresh to say other than his opinion of this is a tragedy, and I think we can double that. Did he have any insights in his presentation about Afghanistan's future?
He was more optimistic and more hopeful than he certainly was when he went there, because he went there before what he called correctly the catastrophe of last summer, when President Biden decided to surrender essentially to the Taliban and to Al-Qaeda, and to do it in a way that was chaotic and bloody and relied on the Taliban for assistance, and to really broadcast to the entire world, our allies and our enemies, just how weak the U.S. can be. I mean, if you're Xi Jinping in China, if you're Vladimir Putin in Russia, if you're Ayatollah Khamenei in Tehran, you say, look, if the Taliban can beat the U.S., anybody can. And let's keep that in mind as we move forward and decide what we want to do and where we want to challenge them. He had been there earlier, and he had been to the north, where there are those who wanted to resist the Taliban. I think he was optimistic that they would be able to. So far, that hasn't proven to be the case. As you know, the resistance is, even in the north, very different, not Pashtun. They have not been able to, so far, certainly effectively resist the Taliban control. In fact, the real resistance to the Taliban, interestingly enough, is the Islamic State in parts of Afghanistan.
Which is worse than anything we can imagine right now. However, I want to stay with the reason for this book, The Will to See, Dispatches from a World of Misery and Hope. I'm sure that's spectacular in French, but I can't do it. So do we regard the Europeans as ready to engage in the troubles of the world? Because heretofore, there's been an assumption that they're parochial about their worldview. They'll deal with anybody. Or is there a fresh wind blowing? We have about a minute, Cliff.
Yeah, I don't think there's a fresh wind blowing. The French have been involved in places like Mali, where you also have Islamist jihadist terrorists, and that is good. You know, one thing I asked him, I asked Bernard-Henri Lévy, he's very close with Macron, the president of France, and I said, look, you seem to indicate that Macron and probably Chancellor Merkel and probably Prime Minister Johnson in Britain, they all understood that America was making a terrible decision in surrendering and bugging out of Afghanistan. Why didn't the three of them get together? Did you not advise? Why didn't the three of them get together and say this is not the way to go? And I can't say he had a good answer to that. No, I fear that, look, our allies also say if America is not going to be reliable and strong,
right,
then maybe we need to hedge our bets. And I think this puts us in a very dangerous period right now with a lot more misery than hope in the world.
Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's President Cliff May, writing in the Washington Times. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.